Well, good morning.
It's a trick one.
This must be made in America.
Okay. You could try this one.
I think I'll be good. There
yeah?
we go.
Okay.
Well, good morning. My name is John Pavlovitz. I am honored to be with you today. I come here from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the United States, and I've been a 20-year pastor in the local church, and I've been working for a long time to try to create a spiritual community, redemptive community, where a disparate group of people can feel seen and heard and loved, and where no one has to go elsewhere. I spent a great day here with a group of people for about 5 hours talking about these ideas, and I got to see your beautiful city. And I don't know if you're aware of what's happening in the States, but I'm not leaving. So I've sequestered myself downstairs, and if you need me, I'll be there. I have been fortunate to be traveling, talking about these things, talking about this book called A Bigger Table, and I've been able to fly a great deal. And for some of you, that may be good news, but for me, it's not, because I'm not a great flyer. But occasionally, I will forget my terror. So I was flying to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I was having an unusually good morning. I was there in my little elementary school style chair that, you know, stuck at 90 degrees, and I had a little Barbie doll sized bag of pretzels, and I had a Dixie cup full of soda, and I had my music on, and I was enjoying myself as much as someone who's sure they're going to die in a plane can enjoy themselves on a plane. And I was interrupted by the voice of the captain. And I realize it's the voice of the captain because he says, folks, it's the captain here. And he said, I'd like the flight attendants to stop drink service. I'd like them to take their seats. And I'd like you to put your seatbelts on because we're about to hit a little chop. That's the word he says. And I know that word because I've heard captains say that word before. And he goes on and he talks about this weather system that we're approaching. And he again says, it's about to get a little choppy. And I know what that is. That is captain speak, for we are about to be shaken like a snow globe in the hands of an angry toddler. Right? I am about to contemplate my mortality once again. What he means by chop is that I'm about to make more promises to God on what I will do and be if we land safely. Right? Basically, the captain was saying in his own way, turbulence is coming. And if you're a person of faith, that should be familiar territory for you, because in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's preparing to leave. And he's giving them encouraging words. And he says, I say these things to you because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a person to follow after me in the work of peace and love and mercy and compassion and justice, turbulence is coming. So I suppose I'm here from Raleigh, North Carolina, to tell you something that you probably already know. Turbulence is coming. In fact, turbulence is probably here, isn't it? I bet if I were to ask you to describe the turbulence you are experiencing right now, you could name the thing or the person that is causing you unrest. You could name precisely what it is that is bringing you fear, that is keeping you up at night, that is the conflict that you are wrestling with. Has anyone had any turbulence in their lives on the way to this room? Ever? No, good. I didn't think in Canada they had that. Good. I mean, there are people experiencing turbulence right now in this moment. And these are especially turbulent days in this world. And for turbulent days, I have an invitation for you. I have a question for you. And the question is, in turbulent days, whether you're going to be fear bringers or peace givers to people. Because fear and turbulence often come as a package deal. When storms come in our lives, they come with the potential for terror. When we have ordinary thunderstorms in our home, there are two reactions from the people in our home. I have a dog, and I can always tell when the storm is coming because the dog will disappear, and I will find the dog in the bathtub. My dog is like a meteorologist, and I'll say, there's the dog, and so the dog is shivering in the tub. That's how I know a storm is coming. But my daughter, who is 8 years old, when the storms used to come, she would have the opposite reaction. When the thunder would ring out, she would scream and she would be filled with terror and she would be visibly shaken. I want you to think about how you're responding to the turbulence in your life, to the fear that is coming your way. See, as we live alongside people, as we live into our identities, as we seek to live out our convictions in the world, we're going to experience turbulence in the form of opposition and conflict and difficulties, things that bring worry, things that bring grief, things that bring anxiety, and yes, things that bring fear. Fear is beautiful because it's universal in this room, right? It comes with our operating systems. None of us in this room are immune to fear. We can't escape its debilitating side effects, no matter how we sturdy ourselves, no matter how brave a face we put on, no matter how defensively we try and live, no matter how earnestly we believe in God, that fear is still there assailing us. And our politics and our religion and the color of our skin and the amount of money we have in the bank, none of those things fully insulates us from the terror that can come through people and through circumstances. Turbulence is coming, and yes, fear is waiting in it. And what's fantastically gut-wrenching about fear is the way that our fears grow up as we do. When I was about 5 years old, I was deathly afraid of one of the Sesame Street Muppets. I would have nightmares that this Muppet would see me through the TV and would say, "I'm coming to get you, John." And I would hide behind the TV so he couldn't see me. He'd say, "I see you behind the TV." I'm here to tell you, Toronto friends, I'm 48 years old. I have overcome my fear of the Muppet. Right? It's funny the things that we were once terrified by when we were younger, right? We look back now and those things seem rather ridiculous, right? We may have been plagued with vampires or monsters beneath the bed. Those things seem non-existent now. Fearing them seems ridiculous, other than circus clowns. I'm still afraid of circus clowns, right? We may leave behind with childhood creepy baby dolls and shadowed boogeymen in the closets, right? But we pick up different fears as adults. We pick up the fear of financial disaster. We pick up the fear of relational collapse. We pick up the fear of dying alone, of worrisome spots on CAT scans, on national crisis. These are the things. So at in every age, we upgrade our fears to more age-appropriate models. And because of this, we're always susceptible to a poverty of courage and to a wealth of fear. And see, regardless of the things that trigger your fear, we have one of two really unhealthy responses. When terror comes, when turbulence comes, we either become unable to move, like my dog, or unable to rest, like my daughter, right? We either become paralyzed with that fear, stuck in some place of non-movement, or we become internally turbulent, not able to rest, never letting our minds have peace. And I wonder how you find yourself in these days with the things that come against you, with the turbulence that comes with the conflict. Are you stuck internally immoved, or are you frantic? Unable to rest. Whether you're unable to move or unable to rest, those are not God's desire for you, either of those things. And so hopefully today, if you're stuck or if you're frantic, if you're paralyzed, or if you can't rest, that you find a way to embrace peace today. I'm reading a book called Jesus and the Disinherited by an African-American theologian named Howard Thurman. And Howard talks about fear. He says, fear is universal. We all experience it. But he says, not everyone is equally exposed to fear, right? Because he says that there are things that are barriers to fear. In other words, not all fear is created equal. Some people are protected from certain fears. And he says that helplessness is one of the things that a person in a marginalized community, a person in an oppressed community, that helplessness seeps into their very marrow because they don't just feel like they have a circumstance they're fighting against. They feel like the whole system is against them. And he says this, the ever-present fear that besets the vast poor and the socially insecure is a fear of a different breed. It is a climate closing in. It is like fog in San Francisco or in London. And see, friends, privilege is a fear insulator. It's a barrier against the fear bringers. See, I am a cisgender, heterosexual, white, Christian male. That means I have the privilege bundle, right? I have all the things that make life easier. Now, friends, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to experience fear. It just means that I'm never going to understand what it's like to be an LGBTQ person walking through this world, right? And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to have extreme disturbance in my life. It just means that I'll never understand what it's like to walk as a woman through this world with the turbulence that women experience, right? It doesn't mean that I'm never going to struggle in the world. It just means I'll never understand what it's like to be a person of color and experience the turbulence that they feel. And so as a person of privilege, my responsibility is to try and be a peace giver in a world of fear bringers. It's to look at the people who are struggling, who are assailed, who are experiencing fear that I'll never know, and try to be a place of comfort and rest for them. So where does fear come from? It comes from the feeling that we can't control our circumstances, right? If I can't control my circumstances, which I really like to do, I am going to fill that gap in control with terror. I'm going to be filled with fear. That's why turbulence on the plane is so terrifying to me, because I realize that I'm powerless to control the present circumstance I am in. I was leaving for Albuquerque, New Mexico, and my friend who was going to be meeting me there, I texted her and I said, getting on the plane, getting ready to take off. And she texted me an encouragement, or so she thought. She said what many people say in these situations. She texted me, okay, be safe. I texted her back, I'll just be sitting here. You tell that to the pilot and the weather, right? The pilot and the weather are things I can't control. They're outside of me. And so it's easy to believe that my fear or my peace rests in those things, those external things beyond my control, the pilot and the weather. And yet, although I can't affect them, I can have control in the turbulence. I can control my response to the turbulence. I can alter my inner weather, right? So there's a story that Kathy read to us about Jesus. He invites his young disciples to take a boat trip. It's like a 3-hour tour. What could go wrong, right? And they're in the boat, and the storm comes. And as happens in our lives, when the storm comes, panic comes with it. And the disciples, they're overwhelmed with fear, even though they know Jesus. Even though they've seen him do miraculous things, they know his heart. They know what he's capable of. They know his character. And yet, they still allow what they see to overpower what they know. The disciples freak out in the middle of the chaos, and they look for Jesus to come and literally bail them out, and Jesus is taking a power nap in the back of the boat. And this is why he's doing that, because he knows who he is, and because he knows the size of the storm compared to who he is. This is the same reason that the pilot is not freaking out by the turbulence, because he understands it. He has a knowledge of it that I don't have. He has that turbulence right-sized, and therefore he's not afraid. And the challenge that you and I have in the things that we fear, in the things that bring us worry and anxiety, is to right-size them, is to find a peace that is larger than the storms that face us. The choice that we have, friends, see, the question is not whether or not we're going to be placed into storms, is it? The question is how much of those storms we're going to allow to be placed within us. Whether we're going to be inwardly turbulent in outwardly turbulent times. For Thurman, African-American theologian, he says that fear becomes the safety device by which oppressed people surround themselves in order to give them some measure of protection from complete nervous collapse. In other words, they have coping mechanisms over time. They begin to alter themselves because of the things that they fear. It changes how they view themselves. It changes their behavior. I had a bully. I was in ninth grade. freshman in high school, and there was a senior who was terrorizing my friends and I. He was bullying us, and I started to orient my life around his locker. I realized that if I want to get to this class and I have to go past his locker, I don't want to do that, so I'm going to take the long way. I started to change my pattern based on something that I feared. And when we begin to alter our behavior, when we begin to change our plans, when we begin to edit our dreams, when we start to second guess ourselves, when we start to agree with the bullies, then the fear has us. When we start to believe that the thing we face is insurmountable, when we start missing the size of the storm, then the fear has us. The fear bringers in this world say to people, you are unworthy, you're unwanted, you're incapable, you're unloved, you're outmatched. And the peacemakers in this world say, you're strong and safe and loved, you're beautiful and beloved. That's the thing for Howard Thurman and for Jesus. Facing fear is a matter of identity. It is about knowing who you are and whose you are and who invited you on this journey and who is with you on this journey. Howard Thurman says, there's but a step from being despised to despising oneself. And this is what happens when we allow the outside fear in. And so, friends, whether your turbulence is delivered by a cruel family member or a former friend or a stranger on social media or a predatory politician or a brimstone preacher or a system that's corrupt or a circumstance in your life or a relationship that has gone sour, remembering who you are and whose you are is critical. The disciples are freaking out and Jesus is sleeping. See, God is not overwhelmed by the things that overwhelm you. God is not surprised by the adversity you're experiencing. God is not taken aback by the trouble that you face. And God is not intimidated by your questions or your doubt or your lack of faith. See, the disciples, they wake Jesus up and they say a question that's easy to ask. Jesus, don't you care about us? Don't you care if we drown? And when struggle comes and when fear comes, we ask that question, even the most faithful of us, right? We say, God, why? Why is this happening? And if you love me and if you care for me and if you're bigger than all this, why am I going through it? And Jesus says to the disciples, well, the menu here on the journey is limited. You get fear or faith. That's pretty much it. It's hard to let those things inhabit the same space. So he said, I need you to choose. This is the invitation that Jesus offers. It's fear or it's faith. It's trust in how big he is or how big the storm is. It's the character of God or the danger of the storm. What I love about this story is it tells us that no matter what happens during the trip, that there is arrival on the other side. There is a place where you arrive with gratitude and peace and rest and awe and wonder at what you've come through. Friends, do not fear. It's the most prevalent command in Scripture, and yet it's the one we listen to the least. That fight against fear, that confidence against fear. It's the golden tether running through the Scriptures, the assurance that faith is the antidote to all that assails us. It is the steady declaration that if God is indeed God, then we are safe and loved, and all will be well. I haven't been able to fix my dog. My dog still shivers when the storms come, but now my daughter is 12 years old, and when she was 8 and she was having that response, I took her out on the porch. I said, sit on my lap. And I talked to her about the storm and I said, here's what the lightning, this is what that is. And this is what the thunder is. And this is how it happens. And she started to ease up a little. And now every time there's thunder, she runs to me. She said, Dad, let's go sit on the porch in the storm, right? Because I told her what the storm was, and I right-sized the storm for her, and I told her that I would be present with her. I showed her the joy that can even come in those turbulent times, and that's what I hope your faith does for you. In this world where so many people are experiencing turbulence that you'll never know, strive to be not a fear bringer, but a peace giver. May you find rest in the storms. May you not allow the turbulence outside of you to become turbulence within you. And may you right-size the things that you fear. May you realize that even the things that terrify you, in the eyes of God, they're just a little chop. Amen? Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this day to be together in a place and know that none of us are immune to the things that terrify us. Give us rest and peace in knowing who we are and whose we are. And allow us to seek a place where we can rest in the back of the boat in your presence. Amen.